So I'm looking here at 2 Kings chapter 13. In this passage of scripture, northern Israel is facing a fierce, they've been in a fierce war with Syria. Syria is a very brutal nation of people. Amen. A very brutal nation of people. And so in this passage of scripture, if I get my Bible turned here just right, I want to look this morning at verse number seven. Jehoahaz, he was the king here at this time. And, of course, this fell to what I will call Joash. He has another name, but Joash is a name that's in my mind. Verse number seven. This is a very brutal time in Israel's history. Neither did he leave of the people to Jehoahaz, but 50 horsemen, 10 chariots, 10,000 footmen, for the king of Syria had destroyed them and had made them like dust by thrashing. That's so profound. I want to read that into your hearing again. Neither did he leave of the people to Jehoahaz, but 50 horsemen. Boy, you talk about being defeated. 50 horsemen, 10 chariots, and 10,000 footmen, for the king of Syria had destroyed them. The king of Syria had destroyed them. Isn't that a picture of the devil? The king of Syria had destroyed them. Notice here, and had made them like the dust by thrashing. Made them like the dust by thrashing. Boy, I mean, you can only imagine the dust by thrashing. I mean, anybody that's been an old-time farmer, they know about thrashing wheat. And I'll tell you, it's just ground to dust. So now the rest of the acts of Jehoahaz and all that he did and his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Jehoahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in Samaria, and Joash his son reigned in his stead. If you drop down to verse number 14, now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness wherever he died. He was sick and he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And Elisha said unto him, "Take bow and arrows." And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, "Put thine hand upon the bow." And he put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, "Open the window eastward." Open the window eastward. That was toward Syria. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, till thou have consumed them." And he said, "Take the arrows," and he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, "Smite upon the ground." Take the arrows and smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. He smote three times and stayed or quit. And the man of God was wroth. He was very angry and said, "Thou shouldst have smitten five or six times. And hast thou smitten Syria till you'd have smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it? Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice or three times." And Elisha died, and they buried him, and a band of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man in the sepulcher of Elisha. And when they did, the man revived. When he touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood upon his feet. I'd like to use as a thought this morning from this passage of Scripture, challenge, challenge, challenge. You may be seated in the Lord's presence. I'm using as a thought, challenge. How many of you have ever had a challenge? We should say we've all had challenges, every one of us. And so in this passage of Scripture, the kingship has fell to Joash, and he's got a challenge at hand. Syria has came in, and they've been doing warfare against Israel, the northern kingdom, and they have probably been in warfare for 3 years. They've destroyed them all the way down to 50 men. What was it? 10 chariots and 10,000 footmen. And they're facing a very brutal time. Syria was brutal. I mean, they literally brutalized the Israel's soldiers and their women. They literally brutalized them. They weren't satisfied just to whip them. They brutalized them. And so Joash here, he's going to go down and see the king, go down and see the prophet. How many of you realize that this was a very dangerous and a very deadly time for Israel? Actually, it was a time that if they didn't get help from God, if they didn't get a miracle from the Lord, they were going to lose their kingdom. I don't know if you've ever been that pushed down before, but if they didn't get a miracle from the Lord, they couldn't defeat the Syrians. They just didn't have the manpower. They didn't even have the will. I mean, have you ever felt whooped? Have you ever just felt defeated? I mean, that's a feeling that gets deeply ingrained in your soul. And that's where they were. And so, you know, the king came to Elisha. And Elisha said, I'll tell you what to do. He said, I want you to start getting some arrows and shoot. So he reaches back in his quiver. And he first he tells the king, put your hand on the bow. Put your hand on the bow. And so the king, he puts his hand on the bow. And then he said, then he put his hands on the king's hands. He told the king, put your hand on the bow. And then he put his hands on the king's hands. And he said, I want you to pull the bow back and shoot. And he shot. He reached in his quiver, pulled the arrow out, and he shot out the east window towards Syria. He shot once. He shot twice. He shot three times. Then he told him, he said, I want you to take them arrows and I want you to pound the ground with them. I want you to pound the ground with them. And then when he started to pound the ground, he said, why didn't you shoot all your arrows? You had more arrows in the quiver. Why didn't you shoot all the arrows? I mean, you could have shot five or six times. But you only shot three times. He said, you'll have victory over Aphek, and you'll have some victory over the Syrians, but you won't have full, complete victory because you only shot three times when you should have shot five or six times. I know this is an Old Testament passage of Scripture, but they're in war and the kingdom is at stake. There's been times our life has been on the line. There's been times when our family was on the line. There's been times when this church and churches has been on the line. And could I say there's times that nations has been on the line and needing a touch from God, a miracle from the hand of God. And I believe that's where that we're at this morning, because this is a passage of scripture the Lord brought to my heart, and I've never preached it before, and we'll see how well it goes. But so he goes down to see the prophet. He goes down to see Elisha. Elisha was the water pourer. Do you remember reading how he poured water over the hands of Elijah for 9 years? For 9 years, he poured water over the hands of Elijah. He was Elijah's armor bearer. I mean, he packed his books. He helped him set his meetings up. He helped him make his notes. He helped him do everything that needed to be done. He was known as the water pourer. He was mentored by Elijah. So, you know, the water pourer, he's a great man of God. He's probably somewhere between 80 and 100 years of age now. And I believe he's probably closer to 90 to 100 years of age. And he's been in ministry now for about 50 to 66 years. It's really unknown because they don't know just how young he started the ministry. But he's an old man. And King Joash knowed if he got help from God, he needed to go see the prophet. It's very rare that kings would go to visit a prophet. Usually prophets go to visit the king. But in this case, Joash went to visit the prophet. He knowed Elisha was the most powerful man in all of Israel. I would to God that people viewed the ministry that way today, that they the most powerful men in all the country. He went to visit. He didn't send a servant. You know, it would have been a great respect if the king would have sent a servant. But by going himself, it was the greatest of respect. So I can see the king pulling up. I mean, he's in that king's chariot. Them horses has got all the hardware, all the harnessing. I mean, can you imagine the attendants around him? And so he gets out of that chariot and he goes to the prophet's chamber to visit the man of God. And Elisha's sick. He's on his deathbed. He's dying. And he kneels down. I can see him now. He weeps over that man of God. The Bible said he wept over him. He wept over him. I mean, it was tears of respect. Tears of needing a word from God. That's what they were. He went in respect to show respect. But it wasn't just that he went to respect the prophet. He went to honor the prophet, but he needed a word from the prophet. How many of you have ever really needed a divine word for the moment from the prophet of God? Joash knowed it was a desperation. The kingdom was on the line, and he needed a word from God. And the prophet said, yeah, I want you to get your bow and your quiver. And he said, I want you to shoot. And so he shot three times. But he corrected him. He was wroth with him. When the Bible said he was wroth with him, he was very angry. And notice, he's showing anger to a king. The man of God was showing, I would say, a lot of anger to the king. I mean, that's abnormal. You usually don't show a lot of anger to the king. But in this case, he did. Because he knowed everything was on the line. He said, you shot three times. Why didn't you shoot five or six times? That way you wouldn't have just won part of the victory. You would have won the whole victory. How many of you realize so many times we're just exactly like Joash? We just don't have what it takes to really give the full effort, to give the full obedience to the Lord's word. And so we come short in the shooting. How many of you have ever felt like that you really just come short in the shooting? Amen. And you might say, why do you come short in the shooting? Why do you stop shooting? Why do you stop praying? Why do you stop believing? Why do you get discouraged and say, hey, you know, it just ain't going to happen? I stopped shooting because I'm not an archer. I stopped shooting because Elisha didn't help me more. I stopped shooting because I thought three was plenty. I stopped shooting because I didn't think it'd do any good. I stopped shooting because I wasn't in a good shooting mood. I stopped shooting because I didn't want to get overexcited. Amen. How many of you realize that is what a lot of people do today? They stop shooting prior to gaining the full victory. There's people in this house, perhaps you stopped shooting. Perhaps you stopped striking the ground as the man of God said. You might say, what does that mean? That modeled prayer. Shooting the arrows required effort and aim. Shooting the arrows had to be done through an open window. Shooting the arrows had to be done without knowing the exact outcome ahead of time. You know, could I say shooting the arrows was ineffective because it was not repeated enough, reflecting a lack of confidence in the process? Shooting the arrows had fully, it just absolutely had to be done for them to win. And so many times we come short of the glory of God, of a miracle that's in the making, because we stop shooting. We stop trying. We make excuses. You know, I'm thinking about Christian growth. I'm thinking about in 2 Peter chapter 2 and chapter 1, verse 5. It said, add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith. That word add there means a generous supply. Add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith excellence. Add to your faith fulfillment. Add to your faith knowledge, temperance, goodness, meekness. Add to your faith. You can grow into the stature of a full man. How many of you realize there's times that we just literally got to keep shooting? Just keep shooting. Just keep shooting. The man of God said, keep shooting. Keep coming to church. Yeah, keep reading your Bible. Keep praying. Keep believing God for the next miracle or the needed miracle of the moment, the needed healing, the needed restoration in home life. There's times that we've just got to keep shooting and keep trying and not give up. I believe that's the word of the Lord for this house this morning. You just got to keep shooting. We don't stop half-heartedly in the middle of the warfare. We want total victory, full victory in the house this morning. And I believe the Lord said to us, as Elisha said to Joash, keep shooting. Now, Joash was not a perfect man. Joash did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. This is a time of calf worship. This is a time of idolatry. This is a time when Israel fell into sin. And certainly they were feeling that in their conscience. Yeah, it's they were convicted by it. And I don't know, he might have felt like, you know, that they've sinned the day of grace away in their life. I don't know just how he felt, but I know what the man of God said. It ain't over till it's over. You just got to keep shooting. And so this man of God, Elijah, was such a man of power. I mean, he was a miracle. You might say, why did the king go to Elisha? Well, yes, to respect him at his while he's on his deathbed, but more than that, I believe he knowed he was the answer. He was the answer to his need. He was the answer to the nation's need. I want to tell you something. Elisha is a type of Christ. His name means salvation. He's the answer. Elisha was the answer. Jesus is the answer to our need. A lot of time we look to other sources for an answer. But Christ is our answer. He answered Mary and I's need in early years. And that kept our home together. And it will keep your home together. He answers our need. Keep shooting. That man of God, that king knowed when they was, the land was sour and they didn't know what to do about it. The man of God said, just take and pour some salt in it. It'd be okay. Just pour some salt in it. You know, when the death in the pot, when them young preachers, they shredded them wild gourds in the pot of soup, 2 Kings 4, and there was death in the pot. You know what the man of God said? They was crying out, death in the pot. He said, give me some meal. Just sprinkle some meal in it and eat it, and it'll be all right. And it was. You know, there was a time that he was getting ready to set 100 hungry preachers down to a feasting table. I mean, they were in the school. That was the school of the prophets. He's getting ready to set 100 men down to feed them and didn't have a piece of bread on the table. Didn't have nothing. And about that time, a man from Baal Shalisha appeared. He just appeared in a moment of time. And you know what the man of God said? The man of God just brought 20 loaves and some ears of corn, and the man of God had a camp meeting over it and fed all the hungry preachers and had leftovers. You know, this King Joash knowed who Elisha was. 50-some and maybe more years of ministry. I mean, miracle after miracle. He knowed he had smote the Syrians with blindness in prior times. And won the victory. You know, he knowed this man of God when he told Elijah, when he told Naaman to go down and wash in the pool of Jordan, when he told him to go wash in the Jordan River and seven times and come up healed. Oh, listen, he knowed how that Elisha had prayed the healing prayer, give the healing word for Naaman. He knowed all these miracles. I mean, he done double the miracles that Elijah did. Elijah did about 14, and he probably done 28 or more. He's known he was a miracle prophet. Miracles was in his ministry. And that's why the king came to him. Why does people come to church today? They come for more than a show. They come with their hurt, their brokenness, their pain, their trauma. And there's times when they come, you know, family survival's at stake. Just like this nation was at stake. Family survival is at stake. Your health crises at stake. Your financial at stake. Amen. And we find ourselves in these situations just like the king did in this story. But when we come to church, we know God's got a word for us. And there's a word in this house this morning. And that word is miracle. Jesus turned the water into wine. Jesus walked on the water. Jesus opened the blinded eyes. Jesus unstopped the deaf ears. Jesus made the lame to walk. Jesus made the woman that was all crooked over for 18 years stand up straight. Let me tell you something. The Lord's got miracles in our day for the moment, just like he did in Elijah's day. I stand here a miracle. I stand here before you a miracle. When I was 3.5, 4 years old, I had an accident that left me in the hospital for 44 days. I had an exploratory surgery and busted open and died. And God raised me from the dead when I was a boy. When I was dead in trespasses and sin and had living in failings, God's miracle of salvation came to me, and I accepted it. And so I'm standing here before you, a miracle of the grace of God. And I believe there's some people here the same way in this house this morning. I mean, in this passage of Scripture, as I'm coming to a close, Elisha died, and they buried him in his tomb. And about that time, here comes some raiders in, some Moabite raiders in. Them Moabite raiders come rushing in. They didn't have time. They didn't have time to bury him. They just throwed him in the first grave they got to. They throwed him in on Elisha's tomb. When that soldier touched the bones of Elisha, immediately he resurrected and stood up on his feet. I want to tell you something. You know what? That made a statement that said this. Even in his death, there was honor, there was power, there was healing, there was miracles. Even after he died, the power of God still resonated in his body. Amen. And there was still a miracle of resurrection that speaks of Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection this morning. Keep shooting. Could I say keep shooting? You might say my aim ain't right. Keep shooting. You might say I'm tired of shooting. Keep shooting. Keep believing God. Because I believe there's good things that lay ahead for you. Father in heaven, I've done my best to communicate this word best I could this morning. There's people in this house and online, you need to keep shooting. Keep trying. Stay the course. Warfare can be very brutal. What was the Bible said in Ephesians 6, verse 10? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, putting on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. His insidious attacks, his ploys against you. He's subtle, he's sly. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. How many want to withstand so you can keep standing? Let's stand together this morning.